It's official. Yesterday, Donald Trump announced that he is going to be joining in the bid for the White House. Good morning and welcome to 1180 WFYLs. It's a new day. Mike Levin's here. And joining me on this Wednesday, Kathy Barnett, with us in the Truth Exchange. Hello, Kathy. How you doing?
Good morning. So excited to be here.
It's great
to
have you here.
So much to talk
about. Oh, there's always a lot to talk about. Trump is announcing that he's going. What do you think about Donald Trump? You think he stands a chance?
I don't know. Why not?
Why not, right?
Why not? When you're that rich, what else do you have to do? But run.
That's
or
the only thing.
Because
his ratings are terrible, you were telling me.
Yes.
So.
Yes. According to the 2016 GOP presidential survey that the Washington Post put out, Donald Trump is rating has a net rating, favorability rating of -71%.
That's pretty bad.
That's pretty bad.
That's pretty bad.
That's pretty bad. And yet, we were talking before we went on, he must know this. I'm sure he reads the Washington Post, so he must know. And this actually went out before he released his bid for president yesterday. So he must know this. He has a negative 71% favorability rating.
Well, there you go. But he's still running. He's Donald
still running.
Trump.
Why not?
He's Donald Trump. Why not? he could run again. How many? You know, I would like to know how many times has he run? So he's running now. He ran last election.
Yes,
didn't
he ran last election.
I don't think did he run the election before that.
I don't know.
But he's going to try it again. So, oh my gosh! All right. So I'm looking at a Fox News article here, and Trump said apparently, "quote I'm really rich." Oh, we know that. his net worth's apparently around $9 billion, and quote, and that's not bragging. That's the kind of mindset you need, unquote. Well, in a bad economy, I don't know. Yeah, Kathy, you're giving me an interesting look there.
I'm just trying to think. That's you know, what is impressive is that it shows us that he knows how to make money.
Right.
He has been in really bad financial situations before. He's come out victorious, and mm-hmm. that's very similar to what we're going through as a mm-hmm. nation. We're still on this jobless recovery mm-hmm. that everyone keeps talking about. And yet, maybe we do need someone like that who knows how to dig deep, make some cuts. I don't know.
Right. Well, the problem is he's because of his personality and how he's been in the media, no one's really taking him seriously. That's the problem with Donald Trump. As much as you may agree with him or disagree with him, whatever his views are, but I don't even think people got past really looking into his views.
I don't think people got past the hair.
The hair,
to
yeah.
really focus on what he's talking about.
And his hair, I don't know. It's pretty, either that's a really good-looking kind of a toupee or something. It never moves.
Even when there's photos of him or videos of him getting out of his private airplane, it just never moves. It just kind of sits there.
I guess so. Well, Donald Trump throwing his hat in the field now. So we're you know, now what is that? That's got to be about 12. I'm not even keeping track anymore. There are so many GOP candidates that are in the field now. Of course, because of President Obama and his. All of his debacles, basically, in the White House. So now you're seeing this big upswing of conservative values, and now you have a bunch of people running for the GOP nomination. The problem is it going to dilute anything when it comes to the presidential race that's coming up in 2016? You know, if there is one, there's going to be one nominee, but will all the other nominees back down? If that happens, I think that's the big unanswered question.
You know, and whether it has been formally stated or not, what it looks like, the primary two candidates that are running for president in this upcoming election is Hillary Clinton for Democrats mm-hmm. and Jeb Bush for the GOP.
Mm-hmm.
And now, of course, we haven't gone through all of the votings and the preliminaries and all of that. But in the back of our mind, the seeds have already been planted that those
sure.
are two potential candidates. And what's interesting is that for Jeb Bush, his unfavorable rating is a negative 51. And yet, I mean, and there are those who have a higher favorability than Jeb Bush. And yet, this is the unconscious, the subconscious choice that have already been placed in the back of our minds, that those two, Hillary and Jeb Bush, are our two choices. And Hillary, I think she just came out with her third launch party that was dismal, just as dismal as the first two.
Yeah, and I don't think Jeb is as popular with conservatives as everyone is touting to be.
He's not.
I don't, and that approval rating shows it. You know, he is just not, because his name is, ironically, his name really doesn't seem to be much of a problem anymore. People aren't really bringing up Bush-era politics when talking about Jeb. Now, if he is the nominee, if that does happen, they will be bringing it up. They will be bringing up how his brother governed the country. He'll be constantly battling that the
Common
whole time.
Core.
Because, well, and that's just, it comes with the territory. It comes with his name. But if you, he hasn't really had that come against him right now. But he is, I don't think that he would be able to swing it as if the, politically, the Republican Party, if they keep on moderating in their views, they are alienating part of the American people. And that's not necessarily what they have identified themselves with historically. It's almost like they don't know who they are right now.
Of course, yeah.
And you've got so many different people trying to grapple with the way our country is changing. Of course, you know, it all comes down to one thing, and it comes down to the gospel. I believe it comes down to Americans and how we're living our lives day to day, how our hearts are day to day. And if that doesn't change, then we're just going to keep on seeing things going the way that they are in our country. It really does take something deeper to happen there. But as the Republican Party tries to become more moderate, they're going to lose those people. And, you know, it may be popular for a time even, but it's not going to last. You know, we see where the kind of policies that take more from other people, you know, take from the rich, give to the poor, it sounds great, but, you know, scripturally, looking at it as a Christian, it looks like covetousness to me. You want what someone else has, and you're going to do everything you can to take what they have, because that in your mind is going to fulfill you. And the problem is, it's not. It's not going to fulfill you. You know, no matter how much money you have, the rich person isn't fulfilled either. So, but that's what the GOP field is looking like now.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, and not only spiritually, from a biblical perspective, is it covetousness and doesn't work. Even economically, it shows that it never works. You know, and really, it's just a ploy. It's a ploy that is used during tough times like this to just kind of soothe the populace. It's something that sounds good to the ear, but in practicality, it never actually works out. Now, who is favorable? If you're looking at the GOP, Jeb Bush, like I said, has a negative 51% rating. Marco Rubio is just as popular, is a little bit more popular than Jeb Bush, according to this Washington Post survey.
Now, that came out, what, about a week ago?
About a week ago, yes. And Marco Rubio's unfavorable rating is negative 31, whereas Jeb Bush, like I said, is negative 51. So he's actually a little bit more positively viewed by the populace, or at least those who took the Washington Post survey, mm-hmm. than Jeb Bush. And yet, again, I mean, I do think that's really interesting, because we move throughout life thinking we have complete ownership of our thoughts. And I am so conservative. And so I would never, in the back of my mind, intentionally think we're coming down to between Jeb Bush and Hillary Clinton. And yet, I found it so interesting that subconsciously, throughout going through life, these little seeds have already been planted in the back of my head, making me think that we're coming down to these two choices. And I told my husband, if that's the case, we're moving to Israel, because I just really feel like there, I think we will be lost as a country at that point.
Jeb Bush and Hillary Clinton. That's
I mean,
if that's the best we can do, because
we're moving.
Yeah, good luck with that.
I know.
You know, going to Israel of all places, especially too. But yeah, Jeb Bush. This is going to be the big fight within the Republican Party, Jeb Bush versus everyone else. Now, I do not think that I don't think he is as popular with conservatives as. I don't think he's as popular with conservatives as the media is reporting
not
him to be.
Not at all. No. I mean,
right.
You know, he's a part of the establishment. I mean,
right.
And you have
right.
really big issues like Common Core that he was instrumental on
mm-hmm.
that is going to present a huge problem. But now we've been talking about unfavorable ratings. Let's talk about who is at the top of the rating. The Terminator. The Terminator has a 20+ favorability rating. He's more popular than Marco Rubio, than Hillary Clinton, than Rand Paul, than Mike Huckabee. And following closely behind the Terminator is Darth Vader.
And I've been waiting for that one.
Followed by the shark from Jaws. So these three fictional characters are at the top of the favorability rating. Very interesting.
The dark Sith Lord Darth Vader is more popular than the candidates. We're going to get back to the program here in just a minute. You're listening to It's a New Day, 1180 WFYL.
School property taxes are out of sight and going up almost every year. Even if you've paid off your mortgage, you haven't paid off the state of Pennsylvania. If you lose your job, you could lose your home, too. But there is hope on the horizon. Harrisburg is considering a bill which will eliminate property taxes for school funding. It replaces it with a broad-based small increase in income taxes and sales taxes. This makes all Pennsylvanians responsible for school funding, not just property owners. Please join us at Montgomery County Community College in Pottstown on Thursday, June 25th at 7 p.m., for a town hall meeting to discuss how we can fully fund our schools without taxing people out of their homes. Town hall meeting, Montgomery County Community College in Pottstown on Thursday, June 25th at 7 p.m. Admission is free.
From the Pennsylvania Family Institute, I'm Michael Gear with today's Family Update. Pennsylvania's General Assembly once again is looking at a possible expansion of gambling to try and meet budget shortfalls. This time around, the proposal is to legalize online gambling, which, as one senator said just last week, it would in effect put a slot machine in every home, even at 3 a.m. Well, first, government gambling revenues don't match the promises. You remember the property tax relief that Ed Rendell promised when legalizing casinos? Well, that hardly materialized. And as we predicted at that time, casino gambling would create nearly 300,000 gambling addicts statewide, causing crime, bankruptcy, family breakup, and suicide. The most recent survey shows we're at 280,000 addicted gamblers in Pennsylvania and climbing. Government-sponsored gambling is a bad idea, and adding to it is simply irrational. Find out more about this issue at our website at pafamily.org.
Good morning and welcome to the program. It's a new day in 1180 WFYL. Mike Levins here along with Kathy Barnett this morning joining us. Hello, Kathy.
Hello, everyone.
It's wonderful to have you in studio here.
Yes.
You could go ahead and call in at 610-539-TALK. 610-539-8255. Let your voice be heard this morning. And, Kathy, I haven't been following this one at all, okay? But tell us about Rachel Dolezal. Because apparently she is defiant in saying, apparently, I identify as black. So I haven't been following this at all. What's going on with
really?
Rachel?
Really? It's like all over.
I'm sure it is.
I know.
I've been out of the loop on this.
You actually
though.
Have a life, right?
I guess. I guess. Well, you know, it was huge. Yesterday, I talked about this, how Kurdish rebels were actually... they've actually routed ISIS. They cut off one of their supply towns. So that was huge in the fight against ISIS. The first good news we've heard in
months
and probably the whole campaign. Well, I'm sorry, wait a minute. We don't know what our campaign is. but the first thing that, so it's good news. So I was really, you know, that was really good. I guess there's more important things to me,
wow.
I guess, than Rachel. Well, tell me about.
You know what? But, you know, I'm not going to let you slide on that because you're absolutely right. Because we have the substantive, major, America-changing kind of issues and decisions that are being made on the one hand. But we're all being distracted by the foolishness of Bruce Jenner. Don't know who he is. And now Rachel Dolezal, Black Lives Matter, all of this foolishness over here on the left, when we really should be focused on these substantive, life-changing kind of decisions that are being made by this administration and by those who are in a position of power. So I applaud you for not getting distracted. I, on the other hand, was very distracted.
tell me about what's going on with Rachel here.
Rachel, I mean, is she black? She's white. She don't know. No one knows.
She don't know. No one knows.
No one knows what's going on with Miss Rachel Dolezal. But now Rachel, she is the director of the NAACP, or the president of the NAACP chapter in Spokane, Washington. And she did an interview, I believe, earlier this week where she had reported that her father was coming into town, and it was and she showed the picture of her father being a black man. And so anyway, this reporter started asking her, so that picture you showed me, that's your father? She said, yes, that's my father. He said, so your father is black? She was like, yes. And he goes on to say, well, are you black? And then she drops the mic and walk away. she doesn't want to have any more to do with the conversation later after. Because, you know, I mean, like, that's a really hard question. Mike, are you white?
I didn't think I had to think so hard about that one.
I don't know. Maybe I, you know, so therefore, because she could not answer the question that sparked curiosity, why are you hesitating when someone asks you a very basic question? Are you black? Are you white? Shouldn't be so difficult. But for Miss Rachel, it was. And come to find out, her parents came out and said, we're her parents, and so she's white. We don't know. And they actually said, we don't know why she's wearing this black face makeup and have changed who she is. Because look, I mean, if you look at the picture, she looks nothing. I mean, because they did, her parents submitted a photo of her when she was a young child, a teenager, and she's very, very pale. Long blondish hair, looks very white. And now Michael's looking at me strange because he's looking at a photo of her today and she looks like she could be a biracial child.
Right.
I mean, look at the hair and everything. She has completely identified, as she said, and has completely transformed her outward appearance.
Oh boy. So, my heart goes out to this lady. It really does, because she had to make herself look that way.
Oh, she, I mean, and this is apparently, so anyway, she wasn't stepping down initially, and then there was this call for her to step down eventually. What was very shocking, if this incident had just come out and that was the end of it, she just would have been the tail of a good joke. You know, a tagline for a good joke.
But what
really started sparking the interest is that the NAACP came out in complete support of her.
Huh.
Just kind of changing the narrative. Oh, you know what? White people can hold positions of executive positions in the organization as well. Completely bypassing either we're dealing with an integrity issue or a mental disorder. They completely bypassed the elephant in the room and just try to rewrite the narrative, saying, well, people outside of the color of black can hold an executive position, which has nothing to do with the fact that this woman has for the past 10 years represented herself as a black woman. She holds an omnibus position with the city of Spokane, Washington. She teaches African-American studies in at the university there, and she is the leading media personnel to talk about the Black struggle and this Black Lives Matter movement. So she has completely presented herself as a go-to authority on Black issues because she is Black.
Apparently, so she puts on brown makeup
or a really good tan I mean, it is so baffling. So then eventually last night, yesterday, she finally decided to resign. And so the very, I don't even know how to describe Melissa Harris Perry. She's so ridiculous. And so she came out, Melissa Harris Perry, she came on her show, Rachel did. And Melissa said, well, you know, here's the bigger question. Maybe she is white. I mean, maybe she is Black. Is it possible that she is Black?
Well, apparently she said, well, I definitely am not white. Nothing about being white describes who I am. I mean, I when did we get past Black and white just meaning skin color? I didn't think that was that big of a deal. If you want to live a different way, go for it. But
it is a part of the deal, because in order to be Black, well, you have to have the hue of a Black person,
right?
So that is a part of the definition. But I mean, and I think that would probably be at the beginning of the definition. You know, if you're Black, well, your skin color is going to reflect that notion to some degree. We have many hues of Blackness, but nonetheless, you fall into that category. I think another definition is, well, is one or both of your parents Black? And so now this question that Melissa Harris Perry is posing is that does it really require your parents to be Black, either of your parents to be Black? And so now here's the new term. We have transgender. Now we have transracial. Narrative that's put out there.
With transgender, they also brought out something as well where basically, what was it? People were basically saying, you know, I feel like I should be a amputee, you know, and they were, I forget what the term was applied to it, but it was trans something, basically where they felt that they were inside disabled persons. And that's so sad to me. It's so sad, this poor woman, she's gone around doing this for years, looking like, mm-hmm. and she's as white as me as far as her ethnicity goes.
Pull up another picture of her.
You know, here we go. All right, so
because it's very interesting when you start looking at it, and so like that's the situation we're dealing with now. You are having a soft heart towards her. I'm not so convinced because either she is evil and has some. You see her right over there? Either she's evil or she has a mental disorder. And either one, we need to approach her and approach this situation from that perspective. Either you have an integrity issue, you're a liar, you're a con artist, or you have something mentally going on and we need to seek counsel for you.
It's probably, honestly, it's both.
Yeah.
I think.
Hitler had both.
Well, there we go. But Rachel Dolezal, that's what we're talking about here on 1180 WFYL. We'll be back, going to a break right after this. We will return.
Working for your liberty right here in Philadelphia. Broadcasting freedom, shining light throughout the tri-state area. Streaming freedom, shining light from Philly to the nations. 1180,
shining forth, we are the Freedom Station, WFYL. Fox News Radio, I'm Chris Foster. What's left of Tropical Storm Bill's dumping rain on areas of Texas still wet from flooding last month.
I hope I don't get drowned or anything.
Homer Gonzalez in Refugio, Texas, and here's Governor Greg Abbott.
Do not drive into rising water. We saw last time too many people washed away in flooding waters, not comprehending the power that water can have.
14 people died, with two still missing in flooding along the Blanco River. Celebrations in Oakland.
It hadn't happened since 1975.
The dream season is now complete. The Golden State Warriors are the 2015 NBA champions.
Mike Breen, ABC. The Warriors overcame LeBron James and the Cavaliers for a six-game triumph in the NBA Finals, finishing with last night's 105-97 win at Cleveland.
Fox News Radio's Ron Flatter. Fox News, we report. You decide.
Hi, this is Carla Dedessi, author of the Julia Learns book series and host of Your Family Matters here at 1180 WFYL. Let's make 2015 the year that we read quality books to our children, the future leaders of this country. Please start with my book series, Julia Learns How to Vote Wisely and Julia Learns How to Marry Wisely. Julia Learns How to Vote Wisely is instructing our children to vote with conservative values and the importance of planting those seeds deeply into our children's hearts at an early age. Julia Learns How to Marry Wisely is planting seeds deeply for truth and nobility and righteousness that we see in traditional marriage. They are the only books that are sharing this message with our children, the future leaders of the United States of America. And please keep a lookout for a third book that will be launched this April 2015, Julia Learns How to Protect Life Wisely. Remember, today's readers are tomorrow's future leaders.
The Julia Learns series can be purchased as ebooks, printed books, and on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and other Christian retailers.
Freedom is not a gift bestowed upon us by other men, but a right that belongs to us by the laws of God and nature. A quote from Benjamin Franklin.
Chris Christie will be there. Scott Walker will be there. Rick Santorum will be there. You need to be there. The Northeast Republican Leadership Conference at the Sheraton Philadelphia Downtown Hotel, June 18th through the 20th. Meet the top Republican candidates for president right here in Philly. Sign up at 2015leadership.gop. That's 2015leadership.gop. The Northeast Republican Leadership Conference. You can't miss it. Paid for by the Republican Party of Pennsylvania, not authorized by any candidate or candidate committee.
Ronald Reagan once said, "Politics is not a bad profession. If you succeed, there are many rewards. If you disgrace yourself, you can always write a book."
Good morning, welcome to the program, 1180 WFYL. It's a new day. Mike Levins here, along with Kathy Barnett. Thank you so much for joining us, and welcome. You can call in at 610-539-TALK, 610-539-8255, and let your voice be heard this morning. I still can't believe that Darth Vader has a better approval rating than all of the 2016 presidential candidates, which he wasn't the only one on the list, by the way. Luke Skywalker was on the list too. He got 100%, I believe. Darth Vader was 21 or something like that. But apparently that was higher than all the other presidential candidates. Okay. I think the highest one was around 19. So it's not like Darth Vader was the only other choice. People had other choices, but he scored higher than the presidential candidates. So that tells you what the political field is like in our nation today. Welcome again to the program. Now, Rachel Dolezal, her parents apparently have come out in this controversy now. They have said that, I guess, she is lying about her racial identity despite what she would say. Now, her mother disputed an account in an interview with NBC. So there's issues going on between her parents. And this is all documented in the public eye. You know, that didn't happen. What her mother, Ruth Ann Dull, has all said. It's disappointing to see that Rachel is still making false statements. I was hoping to see a change. And she needs help. I don't mean that comedically. She needs help. She really does. You know, because she's been doing this for years, you know, and if we don't know how to define ourselves, then we lose ourselves, and we define everything so haphazardly today. We define things as however we want to see them, and you know, we lose ourselves. We think we're finding ourselves, but we lose ourselves. There's only one way that you really find yourself, and that's in Jesus. That's in Christ Jesus alone. Because she is under a delusion that she is, because her skin color isn't black. You know, she may identify with the culture, that's fine. There's no problem with that. But to say that you are, and to live that you are black, and to change your skin color so that you are black and say that you are ethnically black, that's a whole different thing entirely.
Yeah, it's kind of like, you know, Bruce Jenner waking up one morning and feeling like a woman. I mean, again, we look at this in our culture as just little, you know, little isolated bubbles, but it's really changing the way people think and the way are in the direction in which our country is headed. Because this issue, although, you know, like there's some comedy here, clearly.
It's
sad at the same time, and you know, you have to get to the bottom of it. But this issue with Rachel, I think it is the bigger issue is much larger than racial, because now we're having a conversation of this whole thing of transracial. And I don't know if you've heard of the term cisracial.
Yeah, not,
or
that's a
you
new
know
one.
A cisgender. So
cisgender.
So for example, you're getting ready to get married. Your wife have a baby later on down the road, and the doctor looks at her the baby's anatomy and says it's a girl, and you're so excited. And then your daughter grows up, and then she identifies as a woman. That would be considered cisgender, where you identify with the anatomy of your body and the proclamation of the doctor who declared you to be a girl, right? Okay, that's cisgender. Now, the other term is your girl anatomy grows up. I'm not a girl. I don't identify with that. And now they say, okay, well, you're transgender or you're something else, right? And so now they're trying to make, a neutral opposite of the transgender to say, no, it's not that, you know, this is your natural identity. You have the anatomy of a female or anatomy of a male, and so you are a girl or a boy. But now they're trying to interject, okay, well, you could be cisgender. You grow up and you identify with your anatomy. Or you could be transgender. You don't identify with your anatomy. And it's just very fluid. And so that's where we are. It's this fluidity of, you know, of your gender is what we've been contending with for the past 8+ years now. Now they're introducing, well, hey, not only is your gender fluid, but your race is fluid. You know, if you're feeling like a nut, then just go with it. You know, it's all fluid. There are no absolutes. Everything is relative. And then so this issue, you know, Rachel, Bruce and all this other foolishness, you know, these are symptoms of a much larger problem that we must start contending with. Hence the reason why I'm so interested in it is because I recognize that it's working on the mindset and it's desensitizing us to what is truth. And you have to have truth. You have to have some sense of absolute if you're going to live and thrive in any country, in any society. And they're chipping away at what we know to be true.
And we're going to, that is going to basically weaken us more and more.
More and more.
More and more.
We're so weak as a nation mentally. Even on my Facebook page, have a lot of people out there that I know are Christians, and they're looking at this Rachel thing and they're looking at this Bruce Jenner thing, and they're like, oh, let's just have compassion kind of thing. And I'm like, okay, really? Because what has our compassion gotten us with this whole homosexual movement? You know, when that became a big to-do over the past 8 years. Oh, let's just love and let's just have compassion. And now that has risen all the way up to the Supreme Court, which is now about to change the laws and flip the script on everyone. So we have to start learning from this. I can have love and compassion and still stand up and speak truth.
Right, and as Christians, too, we need to realize that this isn't in our hands. This isn't God's hands. The only way that our nation or anything is going to change is if God does it. If we pray and if we really seek Him and if we are real with ourselves, if we face reality as we know it, then God is the only one who's going to be able to change things from how they are. As far as our country is concerned, I think we need to acknowledge that as well. He is the one who is going to be able to do it, because He is the one who's in control of our lives. We give up control to God as Christians, and because we believe that He is the one who can change things, who can make our lives better, and who can basically be worthy of having our whole life. So we need to do the same thing with our country. We need to do the same thing and go, God, You're the only one who can really change things, who can really take all of the news stories, the articles, every mess that's in our nation, and can turn it around. He's the only one who could do it. And we need to make sure that we acknowledge that too.
Oh, most definitely.
That He's it.
And everything that you're saying, I mean, like, that's Bible. The Word of God says, but it starts with me. He says, if we will humble ourselves, you know, and repent and begin to pray and seek His face, then He will step in and heal our country, right? But it starts, the first response is not me bashing other people, but the first response starts with me humbling myself. So these are all active words, right? Mm. It's a word of engagement for me, because sometimes, you know, we all know in the Christian community, you present a problem and people say, oh, I pray about that. And right. You're like, yeah, right, whatever. No, you're not. Keep your prayers.
Right, kind of thing, right?
So it becomes a cop-out. Yes, God, I mean, all things are, I mean, God is sovereign. As you read through you cannot read through the book of Revelation and every single time before a major calamity is about to break out, He stops and says, now, wait a minute. I just want to remind you, I'm sovereign. This is not taking me by surprise. I'm actually the one who is ushering these things in. These things must happen. And we recognize that if the word of God is true, and we all say, amen, it is true. Things are going to get darker and not brighter. And although things are going to get darker, we're not called just to go, you know, dig a hole and stick our head in it as Christians, but we're called to stand all the more. We're called to be a light. And how can I be a light if I'm covering it up because of the fear of reprisal or the fear of someone coming after me or the fear of just being rejected? I can't even begin to tell you how many friends I've lost in the past month even. But coming to be okay with that and recognizing that as the world gets darker and darker and we're called to stand and just be a light, just to speak truth, not being harsh or rude or disrespectful, but speaking truth. So our response as Christians, I do not believe, is to stick our head in the sand or just to go into our prayer closet and that's it. Now you have to come out of that prayer closet. Now you're going to have to walk and be a light. And now you're going to have to open up your mouth generally and speak truth in this culture that is really working hard to grab our minds.
Right. And there's so much controversy over what is truth. Like the famous question that Pilate asked. What is truth? He asked that directly to Jesus. And no one seems to know anymore. And that's how we're a light. We stand for the truth. And we voice what the truth is, like Jesus commanded us to. And we do it by the power of His Spirit. You're listening to 1180 WFYL. It's a new day. Mike Levin's here along with Kathy Barnett. We got to head to another break. But when we get back, we're going to continue the conversation on the latest regarding... Scripture of the day coming up as well regarding Rachel Dolezal and this whole issue with her identifying as black or white. Well, we'll see what Scripture says in a minute.
there a dark cloud dampening your vacation plans? Are you stressing about how best to care for your pets while you're away? Or do you need help caring for them on a daily basis? Relax, you've just found the best care for your best friends. Lisa's Home Pet Care is the solution to your dilemma. For more than a decade, Lisa has been providing dependable and caring in-home pet sitting and dog walking services to Western Montgomery County, Pennsylvania. Her services include daily pet sitting for dogs, cats, and birds, daily dog walking, puppy care, overnight pet care, and special needs care. So stop worrying and call Lisa's Home Pet Care now to make arrangements for reliable and trustworthy care of your pets while you're away. That's Lisa's Home Pet Care at 610-287-2940, 610-287-2940, or check out her website, crittercare.com, crittercare with a K, .com. Remember, the best care for your best friends.
Here's Dan Celia with today's Stewardship Moment.
Philippians 3:8, Paul acknowledges that all that he has lost, all that he has suffered, all that he has endured, he pretty much counts as rubbish, trash. He says, that I may gain Christ. You know, Paul at some point realized his own self-opinion or self-evaluation meant nothing. I love that he counts all the things of this world that he has lost as trash or meaningless. Let me ask you this. What are the things that you hold closest to your heart?
You've just heard a Stewardship Moment with Dan Celia of Financial Issues Ministry, helping you plan, give, and invest wisely. For more information, log on to financialissues.org. That's financialissues.org.
Father's Day is a great time to consider God's role as father. As a father of six and grandfather to nine, I've thought much about my role, and this I've learned. The more we men emulate God, the Heavenly Father, the better the husband and father will be. I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network. As our fatherhood model, God's the wise father, the great counselor and comforter. He's just, kind, merciful, and patient. He instructs and guides, protects and shields. He firmly disciplines but loves unconditionally. He loves so much he gave his son, the perfect sacrifice to save our souls. He's the humble servant, yet the greatest leader. He's the model in every way of what an earthly father should be. To you, fathers and grandfathers, I ask, how much do you resemble God the Father? Remember, you are the picture of God to your wife and children. What view of God do they have? I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network, asking you, my fellow fathers, this Father's Day, to think about this.
Sign up as a partner at papastors.net.
You know, there's a wonderful scripture that comes to mind when we're talking about this whole issue with Rachel Dolezal. And I don't want to belabor this too much, but, you know, if you look at 1 Corinthians verse 1 or chapter 1 verse 22, and if you read it, it just by itself reads, "He has identified us as his own by placing the Holy Spirit in our hearts." So when we're talking about identities this morning, especially with Rachel Dolezal, how she identifies herself, this is the Christ perspective as to how we identify ourselves. He has identified us as his own by placing the Holy Spirit in our hearts. And that's what Jesus Christ does for us. Kathy, what do you think about that scripture there as far as with Rachel Dolezal? First, it's 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 22. That's, "He has identified us as his own by placing the Holy Spirit in our hearts."
Yeah, I mean, you've said it all. our identity when you're living in this world. I mean, it's a hard thing. You know, I remember graduating from college and now working in a Wall Street environment. And I come from, I came from, and I love it, I came from a pig farm in southern Alabama. I had no idea about financial matters or even how to dress in that mindset, or, you know, the language. You know, it seemed like other people were just so aware of who they were and could identify so very readily with being in this Wall Street environment. And here I am coming from a little farm in southern Alabama, now in the walls, thrust into the Wall Street environment, having no idea, feeling very awkward and insecure about myself. And that has not just been there, but in so many different aspects of my life, going into corporate America, becoming a professor, being on radio and on television, and always kind of looking at, you know, trying to compare yourself to the images that you see around you of what seems appropriate versus how you're feeling, so small maybe, on the inside. And then coming to a place as a very young girl in that Wall Street environment and talking to God and just being honest with him. God, you know, I feel a little insecure. I don't know how to dress. I don't know, you know, the verbiage. It used to take me about an hour just to read a paragraph in a Wall Street Journal. It's like, I don't understand any of this, right? Whereas others, because their parents were in the financials, you know, they had somewhat of a command of the language. And it's a whole new language when you're in that environment. And if my family had life insurance, we were doing good on that farm, right? So I can identify. I think we all can identify of being in a position and you're looking at the people around you and you're feeling a little bit inadequate. You're not quite sure of who you are and how you're measuring up. And yet, as a young girl in that environment, I immediately went to my Father, God, and said, listen, these are the facts. I don't know this. I feel a little uncomfortable with this. Teach me, give me eyes to see what I need to see, help me to understand what it is I need to do. And it just caused me to just go to the cross all the more and to seek my, and to get an understanding of my identity from him. This is who he says I am. The world is looking at my lineage and they may not see much value, but God sees the value. He died for me. He loves me. So I must be important. So although people around me may not see my importance, I know that I'm important and I know that I'm valuable, and just becoming very comfortable with who I am, not based on what I'm bringing to the table necessarily, but based on God's view of me. He says I'm valuable. He says he loves me. He says he has a purpose and a plan for me, that he won't harm me, but that he's going to help me. And I believe that. And that helped me tremendously.
And that's helps us all. It helps us all. That scripture again is 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 22, reading from the NLT. He has identified us as his own by placing the Holy Spirit in our hearts. And God has done just that. He's identified us as his own by accepting Jesus Christ as our Savior, by placing the Holy Spirit in our hearts, and we are his. There's no longer a question over our identity. Are we white? Are we black?
Yeah.
You know, who are we? Are we transgender? Are we trans amputee, or whatever other trans you could put before a word? We are Christ's.
Yeah, and we're valuable.
Right.
Where I stand right now, and all my glory and foolishness and mayhem, he sees me as valuable. I am precious in his sight, right? And that's my identity. That's who I am. And the Spirit of God, he confirms that. And he gives me the inner geo, he says, to do the things that he's called me to do. And one of the things he's called us to do as Christians is to stand, is to be a light on a hill and not to hide that light. Now, does that mean you take your Bible and you start bashing people upside the head and every time they see you, pray the Lord, hallelujah? No, it doesn't necessarily mean that. But it does mean that when the opportunity comes to stand and speak truth, then we stand and speak truth. And he said we would know the truth. Jesus is the truth. And as we as Christians become more and more familiar with who Jesus is, then we become more and more at ease with knowing what the truth is. Because I don't think truth is that difficult to ascertain. I think what's difficult is me lining up my life with what is true.
No, and Scripture even says in Romans that know, God has made everything plain to see. He has made it plain. Everything is laid out. Everything is laid out for us to see. For us to see that there's a creator. He says he's made all these things plainly laid out for all of us, so that we may know all of these different truths that God has set before us, that there is a God. And those who cry out to him, he's going to respond. He's going to answer to. So that's just another look at
the whole Rachel Dolezal.
I'm really surprised. That one kind of got me from left field, because I haven't been really following that story. And although it doesn't surprise me on another hand, though, because
we need more and more distractions. And I'm so convinced that all of these distractions, whether we're looking at Rachel Dolezal, Bruce Jenner, the Black Lives Matter movement, and, you know, just all these different little, you know, just foolishness, really. I believe that this division is intentional. I believe that all of this chaos are just distractions to keep us from focusing on the real things, the things that are going to impact my freedoms to be able to praise God, my freedom to live according to what I believe is right, the freedom to parent my children. I mean, like, these are major monumental things that are being attacked left and right, or even having the free, a secure country in which to live. All of these things are under attack. All of these things are happening right before our eyes, but we're so focused to the left of all of this other foolishness. So I'm not surprised this whole Rachel Dolezal thing came up, and mark my words, something new will come up next week and the week after, because we need this constant barrage of distractions.
I do feel very bad for her, because she needs some help. She definitely needs some help.
Yeah, well, maybe you and you alone feel bad. Maybe I don't necessarily feel completely bad.
I understand that. Yeah, I got that. But looking, she definitely does need some help, though, because that's a serious, that 10 years, you know? I mean, that's a long time.
And even before that, according to her parents, even according to her own admission yesterday in her interview with Melissa Harris-Perry,
right,
of even as a young kid needing to identify with the Black race so that she can be the link between her and her adopted Black siblings.
Yeah, well, we're gonna move. We've got some headlines that we're going to talk about as well, having to do with the feds and Obamacare. You're going to want to hear this when we get back.
Join me, Carla Dedessi, here every Friday from 8 until 9 for Your Family Matters. This is going to be an epic year, 2015, for Your Family Matters. We are going to continue to protect your family, your faith, while we are having fun. We're going to bring cutting-edge news to you, the current events, current resources and tools that are going to give you the best family ever. So strap on your seatbelt and join me for this wild ride in 2015 on Your Family Matters every Friday morning. Don't miss us.
West Norriton Township. This is AM 1180. AM 1180. WFYL.
King of Prussia.
Philadelphia.
Fox News Radio. I'm Dave Anthony. They were ready for Bill.
Canned food and all that stuff in case anything happens.
But so far, the tropical storm turned depression has just been a soaker.
So far, the worst fears about this storm here in Texas have not been realized. There's been no loss of life, no major injuries, no serious property damage, and no power outages.
That's Fox's Steve Harrigan in Houston. Seven counties are under a flash flood warning weeks after the devastating flooding across Texas. Another young American who apparently hates America. Arrested in a terror bust in New York City, where Fox News Radio's Tanya J. Powers is live.
Munther Omar Saleh is an American citizen who, according to court papers, was planning an attack on New York City landmarks and tourist attractions. He's enrolled in a college in Queens that specializes in aeronautics, accused of supporting ISIS and searching the internet for information on pressure cooker bombs. Authorities saw him walking toward the George Washington Bridge with a lantern back in March, twice. After that second time, they questioned him, Dave.
Tanya on Capitol Hill.
Obamacare is fundamentally broken. Americans can't afford it.
And more will struggle affording health care if a looming Supreme Court ruling strikes down federal subsidies to millions of Americans. So House Speaker John Boehner and other Republicans are working on a plan to extend the subsidies but also scrap parts of the law. The so-called baby recession may be over.
For the first time in 7 years, preliminary figures showing U.S. births were up last year. About 53,000 more babies were born in 2014 than in 2013, a 1% increase.
Fox News Radio's Lisa Lucera.
Teen births mean while hitting another historic low, and there were fewer C-sections and preteen births.
They were out partying in Oakland. Celebrating the Warriors' NBA championship.
This is the most exciting moment of my life!
Says a young fan who was nowhere near around the last time Golden State won it all 40 years ago. The Warriors beat the Cavaliers to take the title in Cleveland. Fox News Radio, fair and balanced.
I'm a freelance photographer, and I handle my own business. That's why I use QuickBooks Self-Employed. It's a simple program that helps me estimate my federal quarterly taxes and separate my business and personal expenses. Say I buy a new lens. The purchase pops up on my phone. I just swipe left to file it as a business expense. And tickets to a ball game with my kids? I swipe right to file as personal.
Dad, I'm hungry.
And swipe right for the hot dogs. That's how I own it.
If you work for yourself, try QuickBooks Self-Employed with a free 30-day trial. Learn more at qbselfemployed.com.
And now another golf confessional brought to you by Golfsmith. Recently, a man decided to spare his family the expense of Father's Day. No lunches, cards, or gifts. Then he heard about amazing savings on the latest products at Golfsmith and immediately changed his mind. Besides, he could always be thrifty on another holiday, like Valentine's Day. Hurry in for savings on prior generation Titleist Pro V1s and FootJoy DNA golf shoes this Father's Day, only at Golfsmith. Anything for golf.
The time is ticking on yet another deadline in the U.S. quest for a long-term nuclear deal with Iran. Fox News Radio's Alistair Wanklin has the latest on this live.
That's right, Dave. Diplomats meeting in Vienna are far from getting Iran to agree to freeze its nuclear work on their terms, so says the Associated Press, quoting negotiators. In April, Tehran offered some slowdown, but the U.S. wants Iran to give inspectors access to its military sites and nuclear scientists. Iran's leader last week said, Iran will never give up its secrets, but President Hassan Rouhani said a deal is within reach, the target date less than 2 weeks from now, Dave.
Alistair, the World Health Organization says the spread of a mysterious respiratory virus from the Middle East to South Korea does not merit being declared a global emergency. This despite infecting more than 150 people in the biggest outbreak outside the Arabian Peninsula. The UN Health Agency does say this is a wake-up call warning all countries to prepare for any outbreaks of MERS. Scientists suspect the disease is linked to camels. The psychiatrist who saw James Holmes right before the Colorado movie theater massacre testified at his trial, where he's using an insanity defense.
University of Colorado doctor and psychiatrist Lynn Fenton said she knew James Holmes had anxiety, but
he told you that he thinks about homicide 3 to 4 times a day.
Yes.
And she began to think he was engaged in psychotic-level thinking. She tried to get him on an antipsychotic medication, but he said no. She said he never admitted he had a plan, a target, or even weapons, even though he did. She said if she had known, she would have placed him on a psychiatric hold, but
he never met criteria for me to hospitalize him.
After their last meeting, just 5 weeks before the shooting, Fenton said she was concerned enough that she notified campus police about him and called his mother. Jessica Rosenthal, Fox News Radio.
And Wall Street futures are rising ahead of the opening bell and a statement from the Federal Reserve on the economy and interest rates. I'm Dave Anthony, Fox.
School property taxes are out of sight and going up almost every year. Even if you've paid off your mortgage, you haven't paid off the state of Pennsylvania. If you lose your job, you could lose your home too. But there is hope on the horizon. Harrisburg is considering a bill which will eliminate property taxes for school funding. It replaces it with a broad-based small increase in income taxes and sales taxes. This makes all Pennsylvanians responsible for school funding, not just property owners. Please join us at Montgomery County Community College in Pottstown on Thursday, June 25th at 7 p.m. for a town hall meeting to discuss how we can fully fund our schools without taxing people out of their homes. Town hall meeting, Montgomery County Community College in Pottstown on Thursday, June 25th at 7 p.m. Admission is free.